Hey guys, welcome back to The Reveal. We are so excited about tonight. We have been preparing for this beautiful, young, beautiful guest. She is actually a really great friend of ours, and we have, we just have so much history, and she has so much wonderful things to share with you guys and so much growth going on in her life. It's just super magical, and I cannot wait for her to talk with you guys. Of course, you can always hear every replay on reveal.leonka.com/live, and we are also doing a live event in October. So I said that I was going to give details. Yes, it is in October, so we're super, super excited, and we're going to give the details to that online, and you also find that information on reveal.leonka.com/live. So it's going to be right there above the next replay. So guys, if you are looking to join us for the live event, you can. It is a free live event. You do have to pay a $97 deposit, but we will give it back to you when you get to Austin. So we're super, super thrilled about it. Anyway, Debra, tell everyone about who our guest is tonight.
I'm telling you, I have wanted this amazing chick on from the day we planned Reveal. And I was going to just, you know, stop short of nothing of rather than maybe flying out and getting on my knees to have her on, because she is one of the most potent, powerful women I have ever seen. I mean, like Leonka said, we've known her for years and just watched her absolutely blossom, grow, create, generate. I mean, just literally everything. And it's been so fantastic to watch. Let me tell you a little bit about Corey Michelle. She's committed to raising global consciousness by transforming the way entrepreneurs relate to themselves, each other, and their communities. Experience has taught her that true success for any business is based on the triple gems of collaboration, connection, and contribution. Love that. This revolutionary paradigm has given her an edge in helping entrepreneurs monetize their businesses, master marketing, attract tons of clients, create inspiring brands, and launch killer products, and that I can attest to, all while benefiting their communities. Corey is a certified Access Consciousness facilitator, and Access Consciousness is a technology for quickly clearing away hidden obstacles to success and allowing big results to manifest. She often uses this in her business and life enhancement coaching, causing her clients to achieve results far beyond expectations. For those who want to learn more, she teaches Access Consciousness courses, and you can go to what is that URL, Corey?
It's Corey, C-O-R-Y, Michelle.us.
Great. And so with that said, welcome, Corey. We've been waiting forever for you to get here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm so excited to be here. You guys are so sweet. I adore you both. I adore you both.
Oh, we love you. Yay.
Isn't it wonderful to think, I mean, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was, you know, we were all in Austin and I met you there for the first time, and, you know, but I really have watched your life take off like a friggin' rocket. I mean, in every area of your life. I mean, your personal life, you know, your coaching, your business, you travel all over the world, and we can't wait for you to tell us some of your secrets tonight. Which, by the way, the name of our talk is Getting the Past Out of the Future, which is brilliant. So with that said, you know, why don't you tell us first a little bit about, you know, where you were and how you've created all this. I mean, I remember when we first met, you know, I remember hearing you talk about you were coaching and generating all this stuff for your clients, but it wasn't, you weren't doing that for you, you felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because, I mean, I'm tapping into the energy of who I was back then, because I forget. Like, my past is so far not in my past anymore.
Right, it's not a part of you.
You've erased it.
Yeah, like I forget who I was. I forget my limitations because they're just no longer there anymore. And when I tap in, like, okay, who was I 3 years ago? Then I could sort of vaguely remember what it was like. And I remember, like, everybody around me, like, and even before, like, 10 years ago when I had a totally different business, people, I would hang out with them for coffee, and their life and business would shift. They would get, you know, a $100,000 idea sitting in front of me. Like, things would just shift around me. And I didn't really know what that was. I was just like, cool, I'll do more of that. But I never even considered getting paid for it. And I had, you know, every kind of money block, right, receiving block, value block that anybody could possibly have, right? Yeah. Like, I had them all.
I might have had that list, too. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I have feared so much to actually be able to receive what I'm receiving now. And there's even still so much more that I'm aware that's possible in the world of receiving and money and all of that. And that's not even, you know, I mean, that's one part of, you know, what can be fun to create here, but it's not the only thing for me. And I remember back then I was so frustrated. So exactly what you said, Deborah, like I'm making all these like changes for other people, but what's in it for me, man? Like I want to change too. Like I want to get paid for this contribution that I'm being here. And, you know, lots of work on myself and clearing. And when I found the Access Consciousness tools, it was actually right before when I met you guys in Austin, things started to shift. And the shift has continued for the last, gosh, I think that was like 3 years ago. And the shift continues to change. And one of the biggest things is really like getting my past out of my future, getting every point of view that I've created about money, about receiving, about business, about, you know, my worth and value and what I can and can't do, getting all of that. Oh, and all the evidence, right? Like we build evidence for that. Sometimes.
Oh, I'm so
not
glad you said that. Oh my, we do.
Yeah.
We just build our case, you know?
Totally. Man. Totally. Yeah, like I've been watching reruns of Dexter lately, and you know they're. I don't ever watch TV. But
sorry,
my guy has gotten me hooked on Dexter, and so they're building every case the evidence for that this person is guilty or this is really what happened, and it's such a limitation when we're doing that, especially when we're building the case for our limitations. For what's not possible, because then what is possible can't even show up.
Oh, my God. I want you to
Corey,
say that again.
You have to say that again.
Say that again. That's going to be a tweet. We're going to tweet that one out. That is so good. Listeners,
so
you really want to hear this. Say it again.
When you're building the evidence of what's not possible, what is possible can't even be revealed. You can't even see it. You won't even be revealed.
No, yeah.
You won't even know it's there. And it's there. It's always there.
Yeah, it's like the limitations that we put on, you know, I mean, just cover up all the other possibilities and it just looks like, oh, there's just one, you know, when there's really a gazillion, right?
There's infinite possibilities if you're willing to play with them, right? But I've been aware for a long time, since my early 20s, that, you know, your past should really be in your past, but I had a hard time getting it in my past.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I knew it. I was taught that. I got it on a cognitive level. But how do you really get your past out of your future? Like, how do you really do that?
There's been a lot of, you know, we've had a lot of speakers to kind of touch on this in one way or another, but, you know, how do we, I mean, we all know that there's so much more that we could know. We all know that, you know, we only use a small amount of our brain, supposedly, and we do know that, but why do you think we're afraid to tap into the bigger, to what we just said, you know, the more the possibilities can't be revealed, that we just kind of keep the blinders on. Why do you think we're mm-hmm. scared of that?
Well, how much time do we have? Do we have like 5 days?
Yeah, we could just do it. Go ahead and do a foundation level one.
Right, we could just do a 5 day to change your life. But like what I've seen in my coaching and also for myself is that it's not just one thing, right? It's not just like one reason why, right? We because if it was just one reason, there would be somebody who came up with that reason, and then they would be a gazillionaire that this one thing is the answer, right? The thing. But it's like from what I see, it's everything from not having your priorities clear, right? Because like a lot of times people will say, oh, you know, in my business or something like that. In my business, one of my priorities is making money. Yet in their business, all the activities they're doing are non-income generating activities.
Right.
They want to make flyers and, you know, get their internet set up and, you know, make business cards and stuff like that, but not actually like have people sign up for their programs or their services or buy their thing. And so it's like simply by adding in the awareness of, you know, choosing income generating activities could shift it. Right. Now, if there's a limitation in there, like, you know, lack, or you don't feel like you don't honor the gift that you be or the value, and, you know, maybe you've tried and you've failed, right, then you're dealing with some energetic patterns that might keep you stuck. Because so, like, mm-hmm. some of it's, like, you might just not know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I didn't even know that I was doing that. And once you know, you can change it easily. You have those things, right? Those are easy. And then you have the energetic patterns that are sticky, and then there's the ones that you know about, right? And then there's the ones that you don't know that are running the show.
Ooh, that's good. You don't know that they're running the show.
Yeah.
Can you give me an example, Corey?
I can give you an awesome example, one that I actually switched my changed myself. Yeah, so I got to, like, making about $45,000 in my business, and then it just stopped. I couldn't seem to generate any more, and I didn't know why. And I went and got some facilitation from somebody, and I was like, what the heck? Like, what is this, and how do I change it? And she asked me a question. She says, like, well, how much did your dad make growing up? And I said, oh, I don't have no idea. Let me check. So I asked my mom, and she says, well, when you were young, you probably made about $45,000 a year.
Oh,
I was like,
goodness.
Holy cow. So what I had done, and this is something that we do, we are such brilliant beings, mm-hmm. and we never give this particular superpower, so to speak, much credit. But what I did was I duplicated the energetic patterns, like the frequency of receiving $45,000 a year. Like, and I didn't have any cognition of it. There's no, my dad makes $45,000, so that's enough as an adult. It wasn't that. It was the resonance of that. You know, $45,000 a year and the mindset of that has a particular vibration. Well, I was duplicating that. I was totally mimicking it, so to speak, from my father and my family. And once I would get close to that number, money would just stop coming in. And so what I did was I used one of the access tools, the clearing statement, as we call it, if you're familiar with that. But basically it's like a little magic wand that goes in and destroys and uncreates the energetic pattern that's holding you in place. Well, the very next month, so I identified that, I cleared it, and the next month I doubled my monthly revenue.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was like, with ease, too. It wasn't like a lot of extra work, and it was so natural that I didn't even know that I did it.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean,
Corey,
I did later.
Can the listeners find this clearing statement on your website?
On my website, it's CoreyMichelle.us. Let me make sure here. And then it's forward slash.
Just in case you get any questions about it. If not, then we will put it up underneath your profile so they can find that on reveal.leonka.com/live. And you just click on Corey's bio, and I'll put the clearing statement underneath there. So just in case you have any questions.
Yeah.
And so,
actually,
while we're talking about this, Corey, maybe for those who might not have any idea what we're talking about, a clearing statement or being able to use something to clear yourself that fast, can you just give like a really your quick, fast idea of what it is, if there is one? Yeah.
Yeah, I totally can. And also, I think the best place to find out information about this magic wand, as I call it, is theclearingstatement.com. And it's actually one of the main websites of Access Consciousness. And it's all there, all of the clearing statement. And let's see here. So the clearing statement, in short, let me see how I can say this shortly, basically goes to the point of creation whenever that energetic pattern was formed. A belief, a limitation, anywhere you're mimicking something, it's all energetic patterns, kind of like apps on your phone, right? Those are all just codes. So these are all codes that we come up with. Anything that's not truly of your essence can be cleared with this if you're willing to let it go. And that's the key, is if you're willing to actually let it go. And basically it goes to the point of creation whenever it started and the point of destruction, which is everywhere you use that against you. So, for example, the I'm not good enough, like that pattern. You know, we decide, you know, when we're 3 years old that, you know, I'm not good enough because, you know, fill in the blank. And then everywhere after that, we use that false belief, that limitation against ourselves. Well, I'm not good enough to play soccer. Well, I'm not good enough to have a lover. I'm not good enough to be in the choir. I'm not good enough to whatever. And that's where we destroy ourselves because it's not true. None of it's true.
Right.
And
no limitation is ever true. What was that?
And keep building the case for it.
Exactly.
Like, stack it on. Here's another reason why. Here's more evidence.
Yep, exactly. Here's more evidence why I can't lose weight. Here's more evidence about why I can't this. This is my past shows me so. And anytime you're looking at your past, it's already gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And I think that's what I didn't really get for a long time, is that I thought because I remembered it, and because I lived it, that it was significant.
Right.
Like I needed to hold on to it, like it was real. And once I got that, that alone was a limitation of, like, if I didn't know, if I woke up and I had amnesia of who I was yesterday, what could I create today?
Wow. Yeah. That's really what it's like, isn't it? Because, yeah, we wake up every day with, you know, those thousands of statements that have been running for years and years, and just solidifies, you know, that we can't, or keeping the blocks in place.
Exactly. That's the only thing that's solidifying them, is you're remembering them and making them significant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's these, you know, these patterns, these mimicking patterns. Because we also mimic other stuff too, like, let's see here, you know, like a two-year-old or a baby starts to mimic facial expressions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then mimicking the way the parents walk or the way to hold a, you know, a fork or something like that. Those are all ways in which we naturally are looking outside of us. And this is pre-language, right? Pre-cognition,
right.
Really, where the brain is cognitively thinking. And you're looking outside of yourself going, how do I be in this body? What do I do? And then you just pick it up. You literally pick up those energetic patterns. It's like a data transfer.
Amazing. I mean, when you really think about it that way, I mean, that's, yeah. And how many of those were just really turned into really bad habits as adults?
Here's the killer. We make ourselves so wrong for our bad habits that we picked up from someone else, but then we're beating ourselves up for somebody else's stuff. Right?
I love that you bring that up, because, you know, talk for just a moment about how much judgment really, you know, because, I mean, we're in this new conversation. Everyone is really looking at, you know, how much we're judging ourselves and, you know, how do we, you know, really care about ourselves and love ourselves. And can you say more about what you know about judgment and how it does really create so many limitations in our world?
Yeah, well, so this is what blew my mind when I first learned it. It was that judgments literally stop creation. And I always thought, like, you know, in
I gotta
in
write
my
that
world,
one down. Judgment stops creation.
Yeah. And so in my world it was really important to be right. Right? To have the answers, to be right. And come to find out, that's really what this I call it this reality, this world that we're living in is all about. It's, you know, from the time you're born, pretty much, you're either a good baby or a colicky baby, right? Or you're you're quick, like you walk fast and you learn your ABCs fast, or you don't. You're fast or you're slow.
Or you're slow, yeah.
Yeah. We're always looking for the good. You're either good or right or bad and wrong, right? We're always fitting, you know, children into those two, you know, on either side, the polarity of it. And then you get into school, and either you're in the fast reading group or you're in the slow reading group, or you're in special classes. It's all like categorization for where you are on the judgment scale, which side you're on. And when I started to look at to see how right I needed to be as a necessity for thinking that I was doing a good job as a being, I was like, all I'm doing is always trying to get the right answer everywhere. So in my
wow.
business, trying to make money, I was only looking at the possibility that I thought was right to make money, which never seemed to work. Mm-hmm. I was never tapping into my awareness, tapping into other possibilities, and I sure as heck wasn't asking questions.
Right.
Now, if judgment kills creation, then what actually opens up creation? Well, it's questions. When you ask a question like, hey, what else is possible here? And I know you guys are very familiar with that question, and actively using it on a daily basis. It's like, what is possible? Then it actually, number one, opens up your mind and awareness to what else might be possible, but also starts the quantum entanglements, like engages the universe, the universal, all the elements of the universe and the molecules to start creating what else is possible, something else. But when you're in a conclusion or a judgment is a conclusion, that's the end. That's all that can show up for you. So if I'm like, okay, so this is how I'm going to build my business. This is what I need. I need 5 clients at blah, 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 and that's the conclusion of it. Well, I can totally create that, and it may or may not work for me. And if I only have that as the conclusion of what's possible, then I'm never going to see that, oh, I could create a group program and do this, and it'd be way more fun. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no room for being the artist of your life when you're in conclusion and judgment.
Oh, that's a good one. There's no room for being an artist in your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And allowing, because artists just allow, you know, whatever to come out of them, you know. And we had an artist on last night who was just talking about the same thing, you know, that not having, you know, he goes all over the world and not having an agenda allows him to create some of the most amazing stuff ever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's where, like, so many, I mean, there's kind of like 2 kinds of people out there. One kind of person is not really interested in going out of the box, right? They really love to, you know, follow the rules and do their job, right? Mm-hmm. They're not really, they don't necessarily care about changing the world. They don't care about, you know, making the world a better place. They don't, they're just sort of systems people. They want to put their nose to the grindstone, and they're also the kind of people that'll do the same job for 30 years, right? Now, awesome. Uh-huh. And then there's other people who think that that's the way they should be, and they're not.
Right. What's wrong with me? I can't do that, right? So immediately
right.
Make us wrong.
Right, like what's wrong with me that I have had a new job every 14 months since I was so
Am I a gypsy? What's going on?
Right, like what's right about me that has me be able to shift, have five careers or how many careers I've already had in, you know, before I'm 40, right? Like that's kind of a gift. But it's like the steady and the consistent and stuff like that is always made to be so right. But for me, like what I realize is, I mean, I love being an entrepreneur, and I knew I was an entrepreneur from a early age. I wasn't all that successful in the money field, but I was always successful at taking risks, expanding, changing, and being able to create anything.
Yeah.
And just go for it. I'm really good at jumping off of the high dive at any time. So eventually the money part started paying off, right? But what I realized was that I'm actually an artist in creating my life.
That's beautiful.
Right? And when I judge myself compared to, you know, oh, you're supposed to have a job for 30 years, or you're supposed to be consistent and do this over here, or you're supposed to buy a house and live there. I mean, I've moved every year since I was 18, right? So that is fun for me. Right?
Yep, I totally can relate. For listeners, if I said gypsy, it's only because I totally can relate, and I think it's a beautiful thing to be that. So I think it's a beautiful thing to have a spirit. So go ahead.
No, there's so many of us out there who, I mean, this is where the right and wrong, right? Like I was trying to be right. I was trying to be, you know, what I was supposed to be, whatever that was, but I just wasn't. I couldn't even do it. But once I acknowledge that I'm actually an artist, and I don't paint. I mean, I've painted like three different things, but I'm not like an artist like that. I'm an artist of my life. So if you're an artist of your life, you're going to do things different, and you've got to do things your way. So formulas in business aren't going to work. Likely formulas in healthcare aren't going to work. The formula that's worked for someone else is likely not going to work for you. And that's where I was like, holy cow, what if I have to actually be aware and not come to the judgments and conclusions that everybody else have formed or that anybody else is right or knows more than me?
Mm-hmm.
Because an artist is never going to look to someone else to say, oh, well, is this a pretty painting according to you?
No.
I mean, well, they
not.
Might, but it's miserable because they're just like, it's just what I created, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's just what's come out of me, yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, you know, there's another thing that I think would really help the callers, and I know you talk about this a lot too, and that is our points of view. And I don't know, you know, I know you can expand on that because, and I know you know where I want you to go with that because, you know, we get, it's like a judgment, really. You know, we get this stuck point of view and, you know, it's like, you know, a friend of mine who says, well, you know, there's just not any great guys out there. And, you know, she says that enough and then believes it. And then that's what happens, you know, there's no other possibilities. And so talk about what you think about our points of view and how we can, you know, let go of thinking the same way all the time and what could be possible if we did that.
Yeah, that's I love the conversation about points of view because our whole reality is created by all of our points of view. Our point of view creates your reality. And if you have the point of view that all guys stink and you're never going to find anybody, then you won't, because that's exactly what you're looking for, is whatever is in alignment with your point of view. And one of my favorite tools from Access Consciousness is interesting, is like any, for any point of view that you have, what if it's an interesting point of view instead of your right point of view? Because we want to make our point of views right, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right, because it like is connected into our personality. Like if I'm right about this, just like we were talking about, we're so desperately searching for being right or just simply avoiding being wrong. But if we're like on the hunt for being right, then we'll compile a bunch of points of view that are based on either other people's points of view what we think should be right, right, what our past says, and then we're stuck with this baggage of all these points of view, and what it does is it cuts off your intuition. It cuts off your ability to be aware. It cuts off your creativity.
I love you said that.
If you have a point of view about something and another awareness is coming through, then, or intuition, whatever you want to call it, then you can't access it because that point of view is going to dominate.
And how many times has that happened to people? I mean, how many times has it happened to me in my whole lifetime, you know, that I would get inklings and nudgings and whisperings and, you know, but, yeah, my point of view would say something like, well, that isn't right, you know, and not even open up to what might have been trying to be whispered to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. The whispers of the universe, because it's like, if you're willing to, I mean, be open to awareness or what you're actually aware of, and it sounds like probably a lot of the people listening would be or have or already are, they already know that they're pretty aware or psychic or whatever you want to call it. But if you're willing to go even beyond, and like I always look for the truth, not like me spewing my truth all over everyone, but like what's actually true here? For example, there was somebody was saying something on Facebook the other day, and she was really, really, really upset about a particular thing that had happened in her life. And, you know, by all means, like, go be upset if you want to. But, like, for me personally in my life, I don't really want to be upset for all that long. Like, it's just not fun.
Yeah.
So what I'm always looking for is what is the gift in this and what's true about this? And when I'm asking, like, what's true about something, I'm really looking beyond the story, beyond any points of view I might have, beyond the significance, right? And beyond all of it so I can go, what really happened here? Hmm. Like, what is this? Right? And when I can look from that point of view, I can usually see what the source of whatever is causing the upset is, mm-hmm. And when you're willing to acknowledge the truth, then it literally, all the drama and trauma and significance and story attachments just disappear.
Right.
Can I give you an example?
I was thinking of
which example could I tell them? So my guy, right, so he's obviously divorced.
Oh, come on. Tell them. I've already shared with a friend of mine this week about you and your man and what
my
and
man.
Your name for him. Tell everyone your name, which I think is so wonderful.
I call him Man Candy.
Yes.
He's so delicious. You know, though, he's awesome. And you know, on our second date, we went to this place and we had one of the appetizers. It's called Man Candy, which is where I got the name. And it's bacon dipped in maple syrup and chipotle peppers.
Oh, nice. My gosh.
Scrumptious, right?
Yeah.
So he's my Man Candy. So, you know, so when I met him, he was, you know, recently sort of transitioning out of the marriage, and he asked, he was talking about her at one time, and she had done some, you know, in his world, pretty unforgivable things. And he asked me a question. He says, do you think I need to forgive her? And I looked at him, and I go, no, you don't need to forgive her. And he looked at me like odd, you know, because that's everything that he knew was you need to go and forgive the people who have harmed you, and it's better for you to do that. And I looked at him like, no, you don't need to forgive her at all. He's like, what? Like, the look on his face. And he's like, well, what should I do about this? And I said, well, you just need to acknowledge the truth. He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, truth. When did you know you shouldn't be married to her? Before or after you got married? And he looks at me and he's like, oh, my God, before.
Yeah.
He knew he shouldn't have married, or he knew he shouldn't have married, or he knew he was aware before he chose to get married, right? Now, how many people out there can relate to that?
Hello.
Like practically every person I've talked to, 96%
really?
Of people.
Well, or
it's
even
like,
a
oh,
relationship. Or even if it's not a marriage, I mean, you know, you can even look at, you know, dating or being in a relationship, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, you know, you look back and there were things that you just didn't want to be aware of, you know.
No.
Which is backs up into what we were just talking about, those places in us that are just kind of revalidating our points of view, right?
Yep. Well, exactly, because he was aware that might not be a great idea, but did it anyway for whatever reasons, right? And those are the building the case. Those are the points of view, all the reasons, right? We can come up with way more reasons to get married than our trusting our awareness or trusting our intuition that's saying,
might want to
be aware of this, right? And then what I kind of
we should do a whole show on that. Corey.
Yeah, totally. So basically, in that moment when he started to look at, wait a second, I actually, well, it's acknowledging really what you were aware of, and then you chose against it. And almost every time there was some whisper of awareness, or it was yelling at you, it was really loud, and you still ignored it. And when you ignore those awarenesses, those are what are guiding you. And if you ignore it, usually something not so fun is going to happen, right?
Right?
Or you're continuing to validate your limitation, and you know better. Like, you literally are aware of a different possibility, but you're just not choosing it. And he says to me, he's like, holy cow, that is really what I didn't pay attention to back then. And I said, yeah, so here's the deal. Because you didn't pay attention to that, then the only thing that can really show up for you guys is, because at a point that she wanted to leave and he had, like, committed. He's such a great guy. He's like, I committed to you. I'm going to make this work, even though it just simply wasn't working. And then she knew it wasn't working. She wanted out, but he was like, no, we're married. We're going to do this, right? And so I said, because she became aware of it and wanted to choose out, then the only way she could get out was to do the unthinkable, do the unforgivable. And then you would let her out because that thing she did was unforgivable. But it's all at the source of your choice to get married in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything that she did that's actually unforgivable. She did what she had to do to change the situation.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
then most of us want to throw a bunch of judgment all over that.
Right.
But that's the reality. She was trying to make it happen, even if it
looked
like...
Well, she was aware of her awareness.
Yes.
She was acting upon what she and he had already known.
Yeah. Which, I mean, exactly. I don't know. I guess there could have been another way. She could have just said, no, you know, I don't think so. But that's a brilliant example, though. And, you know, it just goes back to, and I want all the listeners to really consider, you know, it's not, you know, we're not saying anybody's wrong because they're not aware. I mean, wouldn't you say we're always becoming more and more aware, Corey? But there is this idea that, you know, if you've been, you know, allowed yourself to be programmed, you know, all these years with these points of view, then you don't, we're not trained up to listen to ourselves or that quiet knowing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're more trained up to push that out the door.
Totally. And the other thing that we're doing a lot, which I am so guilty of this, is doing the whole, I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. Can you relate?
Oh, yes.
More than you know.
I mean, and how many of us have said that? I knew that was going to happen.
I knew it, and that's where we're using our awareness against us. We're proving we were right, but we have to choose against it versus for us. But the thing is that when you're in your flow, when you're in your magic, when you're having synchronicities or whatever you want to call them, and life is just good, you're choosing in alignment with your awareness and alignment in lots of different ways that we probably don't have time to go into today, but you're in alignment, so to speak, right? You're choosing the lightness, as some people might say. And mm-hmm. you don't have to prove it. You aren't saying, oh, I knew it. You're just like, woohoo, this is great. Let's keep going.
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know, Leonka does that every other day. Something will come up and she goes, we're going. Let's go. <You know? laughs> Like, I'm going.
Yeah, you got to be around Leonka because she's got it going on.
She does have it going on.
Well, we think the same thing of you, Corey.
Oh,
we know you have it going on, girl. But I mean,
I know that we could go on and on here, but I know we've got a time. I could ask you a gazillion questions, and you know, maybe we'll get to have you back on because I didn't mention that. If we have the time, if you want to ask Corey a question, if you'll press star 2, we'll try to get you on. But I guess, you know, we should get into talking about this incredible topic, which is getting the past out of your future. And, you know, you've got some juicy points around that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've already sort of tapped into a few of them, right? And, you know, one of them is really just looking at where your what's not working in your life? What would you like to change? And then what I typically do is look at what are all my points of view or beliefs or expectations about that. So, for example, when I was diving into my money stuff, I was like, okay, so what do I believe about money? Right? And then all that. And then I would use the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement. And I would clear it all, and then I'd go, okay, great, now what do I believe about money? And there was a whole other wave of stuff, and I would just keep going until I couldn't find anything anymore, right? And you will get to that point if you do it. If you continue to bring them up and then let them go, there is a bottom of the bucket, right? When there's nothing else in there. Do you guys want to do some clearing on this total? Would that be a benefit?
Sure, absolutely.
Let's do it. Yep.
Okay, cool. So if we can just start to look at that and show people what might be possible. So first of all, the clearing statement. So I think I promised three ways to put your past in your past and start creating your juicy life today. Number one, I use the clearing statement often. Anytime I get stuck on something or something doesn't feel like it's changing, I just ask all that is, everything holding that in place, I destroy and uncreate it. And then I say the clearing statement, which is short, speak for a lot more. And like we said, you can find that at theclearingstatement.com. But the short speak is good and bad, right and wrong, pod and pock, all nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. And it sounds like Swahili, but it works. So, for example, all of my evidence for building that I, all the evidence that I've been carrying around, building and perpetuating about I have no money, will you destroy and uncreate that, please?
Yes.
Yes. And then they say good, bad, right, wrong, pod, poc, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. Yeah, all that. And then it literally does this clean sweep and starts to destroy and uncreate all those patterns. And then all of a sudden, new possibilities start showing up in your life. And it's not a lot of work. It's just identifying those. It's like, you know, on your iPhone, you hold the little app down, and then it starts wiggling, and then you just push delete. That's kind of like what it does.
Love that.
So that's one way that I use, and I use with my clients. And another way is this, I love to look at things as an interesting point of view, because when you stop judging your past, right, like when you're blaming yourself for something, you're feeling guilty for something you did or chose, shameful, regretful, blame, shame, regret, and guilt. Those are kind of the four four of them, I shouldn't say main things, that hold us into the wrongness of us. Blame, shame, regret, and guilt. So
God,
anyway,
do they ever hold us into the wrongness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are sticky because, you want to know why?
Why?
Those boogers.
Those little sticky ones.
Right.
They're not true. And whenever we're buying a lie as true,
ooh,
it will
and we'd
stick
like to
us.
Buy them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do. We pay lots of money for those.
Yeah, we do. It's like a clearance. We get like 80 of them.
Yeah. Right. Like it's blame, shame, regret, mm-hmm. and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are someone else's, most of them, blame, shame, regret, and guilt. So someone else's point of view that you're buying as the truth. So, for example, you don't want to go to your mom's house for Thanksgiving, so she's going to give you the guilt trip. What you'd really like to do is go to the Bahamas. She'd really like you to go to Iowa. You're like, but I really want to go to the Bahamas. And she's like, no, you need to come to Iowa, otherwise you're a bad daughter. So then all of a sudden, you're now wrong because you're not choosing what your mother would like you to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Deborah, is she talking to me? Is she talking directly to me?
I think so. We might need to do a direct clearing right there on Leonka.
Yeah, well, what we're doing to ourselves there is we're making someone else's point of view more true for us, more valuable than what we would really like to choose.
Oh, my God, that is so good. That is so good to hear that. I mean, there's
I can give you a kiss on your cheek.
I know. I know. Kiss, mm-hmm. kiss. I mean, it's just, there's relief to just hear that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and so we look at each one of those. We call these an access distractor implants because then they all come from religion, basically. Blame, shame, regret, and guilt. You can get that. But guilt is like mother's guilt, and you can attach that to any culture or any religion, like the Catholic guilt, the Greek mother's guilt, like I've heard it everywhere. And it's someone else trying to make you feel bad, whether they're doing it intentionally or not. You might just be doing that to yourself. It might not even be them at all, but that's what you're doing to yourself. But like someone else making you feel bad, actually, it's not even that. Someone else's point of view is going to have you choose their point of view over your point of view. But
right.
it's not really about them at all. It's about you making that greater than yourself.
And then when we make so many decisions that are not what we want to do, then we're like, why am I so miserable?
You wonder why, right?
And exactly.
You're not even living your life. You're living for somebody else.
Right.
And I work with people all day long, and we find these things, like, insidiously, it's like a systemic infection of somebody else's point of view, and, like, wrapped up in your reality.
Like you've been infected.
Yeah, like, totally infected with someone else's point of view. So if you had parents, for example, who, you know, thought that you, to be the best you, it was actually to do what they thought you should do, and you started choosing that, then you're probably living a life that's not yours. And it's not uncommon. It's totally not uncommon.
This just dropped in, and I just feel it feels right to share it because, you know, this is Reveal. Leonka and I do get real on our show. You know, what that reminds me of, Corey, is like, my dad was a military man, but he always and the only way that, you know, I ever really got attention for him or approval was through work. You know, you had to work hard. You know, you had to work your plan your work. And so as a result, when I went into my banking career, he loved it. He loved it. He loved it way more than I did. And, of course, you know, each time I'd get a promotion or you know, I'd move up the ladder or whatever, you know, he was so happy and I was, you know, standing back feeling happy because he was happy. And then the interesting thing happened is when my dad passed away, it just hit me like a rock. And it was like a couple months later, I got the biggest promotion of my life and I was sitting there and I couldn't call him to tell him to get his approval. And I realized, I was like, I have been doing this for over 15 years, not even for me. And that was, and I mean, I literally, within the next week, I just picked up my purse and left, you know? And So I love that you're saying this, and I hope the listeners are really getting, I mean, you know, so many of our decisions and our plans and, I mean, you know, are they really what we want or just things we think that we should be doing or need to be doing to get approval or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And most of us learn to look outside of ourselves to see what we need to choose, what would be the best. And that's where we gain less and less trust for ourselves and more choosing based on other people's points of view and realities. And like I said before, sometimes you have the, you know, the mother that's, you know, guilting you into something. And other times people around us have no idea how much impact they have on our choices. Right?
Right.
Like you're strategizing like based on everybody in the room's, you know, hodgepodge of points of view on who you should be. And they don't even know. They're not even doing it to you, right? Because nobody can really do it to you. It's really just a choice, but it's a distraction. It keeps you distracted from what you would actually like to choose and who you really be.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. I work with a lot of clients on this, and even the people who come in pretty good at choosing for themselves, we always find stuff that's literally like the systemic infection that is sort of running the areas of your life that don't work. Not that they don't work. It's more like they aren't working in their optimum capacity, in the magic that you truly be.
Right.
Right, because some people could be living, you know, what they consider like an okay life, but it's still based on other people's points of views and, you know, being right and, you know, checking off the list and, okay, yeah, you know, I'm 30 or whatever, I'm, you know, I need to get married, you know, got to buy a house, it's time for me to have kids and blah, 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 you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So much of the time is just coming from somewhere else other than inside of us and what we really want, you know.
Exactly. I mean, all of it. Like when I first, you know, learned about Access Consciousness, I had my first BARS class, which is an energetic, you know, hands-on energetic work that we do, one of them, actually. And one of the gals said, well, what would you like to have that, you know, change in your life? And it said, you know, money and this and that. And I said, relationship. I really like a relationship. And she asked me, she's like, well, who does that belong to? And I was just pissed off that she even asked me. If it was, cause when we ask, like one of the tools, right, is who does this actually belong to? Is this really my desire or is it not? And I was like, who are you to say this relationship thing might not be mine. Doesn't everybody want a relationship? Isn't that what everybody's goal in life is to have a relationship? And I was like,
yeah, you probably were using the B word, right? You're like, yeah.
Right. I was just like, oh, you. And so I was like, wait a second, is it really mine? And so what I started to do is become willing to ask, you know, everything, is this mine or is this someone else's? Did I pick this up somewhere? Am I just duplicating the relationship I think I want? And what I realized was at that time, there was not one relationship in my life that I would like to have one like. Right?
Wow.
Like, there was nobody I wanted to be like that. I want a relationship like that. So I stopped wanting that kind of relationship. I was like, something, if there's a relationship for me, it's something totally different that I have never seen before.
I love that.
Yeah. All right, because I was for sure that I didn't want what everybody else had.
Yeah.
Because that didn't look like fun.
That's a great example. That is a great example of, yeah, you know, everyone just assumes, you know, if I'm single, well, I shouldn't be, you know. There's something wrong
right.
with me.
Yeah, there's definitely something wrong. That's like one of the core wrongnesses especially as an American, is if you don't have a relationship, why? There must be something wrong with you. And that's actually what people told me, being a proudly single 30-something. People were like, well, what's wrong with you? If you've never had kids and you're not married, never been married. And I said, well, what's right with me? What do I know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you haven't lost money in a divorce yet. How about that?
No. Lots of benefits to what I've given. And,
lots of benefits.
You know, now I have created a really, really fabulous, amazing relationship with Man Candy. And it's different. It's different than what everybody else has. And I'm super grateful that I have the capacity to choose that and to not have to, like, you know, do it like everyone else and really have something that really works for me and not settle either, right? It's like, how much of the time do we settle for business, right?
Gosh.
Or
for
creating
anything.
A
yeah.
Anything.
You know, let me ask this question, Corey, and I'm just going to actually kind of reaffirm, but wouldn't you even say, like, if someone came to you for business, right, you know, I know I want to improve my business, but wouldn't you even say that the things like their, I don't want to say love life, but you know, the way you attract your mate changes, like everything changes when working with mm-hmm. someone like you, even if it's just with your business, right?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I've really struggled in figuring out what am I?
Like, hey, we're in that club. We're
wow.
in that club.
Imagine that.
Who am I? What do I classify what I do as? And I'm in a rebranding process right now, and I'm really like taking a good look at it. And I do a lot of work with entrepreneurs and a lot of work in business, but I'm not a business coach. Like, people are around me and they transform, right? So how do you say that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't do strategy and I don't do, you know, here's your funnel and I don't do that. I look at, like, getting you to the point where you know that you can create anything at any time, right? Like, you trust yourself more than you trust anything else out there. And
mm-hmm.
you might call that a life coach. I don't have a name for it, so if somebody has a great name for it, let me know. But there's just something else that I bring to the table, and how cool is that, right? Like, we're really
yeah.
changing, like, we're uninstalling the operating system on your system to see
and
the brilliance
upgrading.
That you truly
yes.
do.
Yes.
Yeah. I destroy operating systems.
Yes. Well, there you go. It just came to you. You destroy
yeah,
operating systems. That's a good one.
There's one way to say it for sure. I'm sure there's lots of other ways that will come out as I'm exploring this topic. But I wanted to get back over to the tools for people, right? So one, we have the clearing statement, and then we have the who does this belong to? Like, is this actually mine? Is this guilt mine? Is this shame mine? Like, a lot of people have shame around money, whether it's, you know, you have a lot and you're shameful because you have more than others, or it's because you're in a lot of debt, right? And you don't want people to find that out. Like, I had $150,000 in debt, past expenditures, and I had filed bankruptcy before that. So I had this tumultuous past with money. My relationship with money was like an abusive lover.
Oh.
And when I started to let go of the shame and the blame and the regret and the guilt with it all, was like so much freedom, because I could actually start creating for my future instead of, you know, being in the past with the blame, shame, regret, and guilt, right? And so what I love is those pieces of it, of looking at anywhere you're in blame, shame, regret, or guilt, you're in the past. Because it's all past stuff, right? And so that's where you can use the clearing statement. So let's just do one fail sweep. I can feel people going, please, please clear that thing, this. So whatever is up in your universe when you're listening, whenever you're listening, whatever that thing is, where there's blame, shame, regret, and guilt, or if there's 500 things, will you just destroy and uncreate all of it?
Yeah.
So good, bad, right, wrong, pod, pock, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. And it just starts to take layers and layers and layers off, where you'll start to feel different, and things differently will show up in your world.
I love that. And, you know, as you're talking about all this too, and you mentioned, you touched on this in the beginning, I know this has a lot to do with everything you're talking about, but can you talk a little bit about receiving? Because that seems to be, you know, I mean, there's so many of us, we can't even receive a compliment, let alone, you know, receive way more bigness in our relationships or money or whatever.
Receiving. Like, well, tell me this. Is it a positive or a negative thing to be able to receive in this reality?
Well, it's probably more negative than positive in this reality.
Yeah, we think it is, because if somebody gave you this amazing
compliment, it's better to give than receive. Remember, that's
yes.
what we've been raised with. Well, if you were raised in my church, that's what you got anyway, you know.
I wasn't even raised in church, and I got that one, too. Like, who does that belong to? But, like, if you received a compliment, you're like, and you normally are like, oh, no, like, thank you, but, and then we'd, like, sweep it under the carpet. But if you were like, thank you so much. Oh, my God, you said that, so I'm going to go post it on my Facebook page because apparently I'm awesome. Right? Like, who does that? And how many people would like to do that? But then we get judged for being, you know, boisterous or too much or what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, bragging. Right?
Yeah.
You're just bragging about yourself, right? So can we just clear that real quick? Like, everywhere, like, receiving has occurred or you've been blamed for bragging, going over the top, being better than other people. Will you guys just destroy and uncreate all of that?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good, bad, right, wrong, pod, poc, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. So it's like, what if you could celebrate receiving you?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and like celebrate the gift that you be and scream from the top of the buildings, like, I'm amazing, I am brilliant, I am awesome, I am magic, I whatever, right? And, you know, what would that be like if you had the freedom to be able to choose that if you'd like?
Gosh, Corey, that's so real. Lead singer for like a Tejano band and a couple other things in high school. So I got a lot of like stage time. I opened up for really big acts, but when I got back to school, I wanted to mute myself, right? So I never wanted to celebrate the fact that what I was doing, you know, on my off time, or I didn't want to celebrate the fact that I was on like TV, like even if it was just a, you know, private access show or whatever, right? Like, so it's so easy to not celebrate those things. It's so easy to be like, no, I'm not cool. I'm not, you know, anything more than what everyone else is, right? So you just try to make yourself muted, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Or small.
Yeah.
Or quiet. Or invisible.
Small.
Yeah.
Quiet. Mm-hmm. Invisible. Invisible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Instead of celebrating.
Yeah,
and you know what I love about you, Corey, is that you are just so, I mean, you celebrate every day. I mean, I see a post every day where you're celebrating.
I love that.
I mean, it's so wonderful. I mean, you really demonstrate that so well, you know, to see, you know, receiving and celebrating, you know, what you're receiving. I really love that about you.
Thank you for that. I love celebrating life and everything that's even in it, the good, the bad, the ugly, the amazing, the magical, like all of it is such a gift. It's such a gift to be here. And thank you for that. Thank you. And I just love that, like, I didn't used to receive it all. Like, people would acknowledge me and they'd go, did you even hear me, Corey? Like, I would just shut down. Somebody would say I look pretty or whatever. Thanks for changing my life, and I'd be like, ignore that person said anything, and then just move on.
Or you think that it's such a big lie that there's an agenda going on? You know, I mean, like,
oh, like they're trying to get something from you.
Yeah, yeah. What do they really want? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Can we clear that one too?
Yes, let's do.
Okay, so everywhere you've programmed yourself or been programmed, or you know, your point of view that when someone else is acknowledging you, they want something.
Mm.
It's like you should be suspicious. Will you destroy that? That keeps you from receiving. Will you destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good, bad, right, wrong, pod, poc. All nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. Woo-wee. When we can receive like, there's so many components of receiving, but simply just starting to receive the, you know, the greatness of you, the brilliance of you, the beauty of you, on whether it's a, seems like a really small level to going robust, when you start to acknowledge yourself, it can open up receiving dynamically. Which
in, like,
includes
all
money.
Areas. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
It's like money, relationships, friends, like your body will start receiving more, right? Things will show up with more ease when you're receiving. And when you're receiving you, like acknowledging you for your brilliance. And even when you're cute, I call it, in Access, we call it cute but not bright. So when we make those cute moments, right, we're like, oh, those are the I shoulda or I knew, right? I knew I should have done that, or I knew I should, that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the cute but not bright moments. And still even acknowledging you for, you know, receiving that bit of awareness after
right,
the fact.
Right. I know. I'm constantly telling Lianca, well, you know, something will happen during the day, and, you know, it'll just be so good. And, yeah, I'll tell her, I'll say, oh, my God, we're so brilliant. This is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know that I've ever done it this much before, you know, just really let myself, you know, say it and enjoy it and feel it and believe it and all that. So, yeah, because, you know, I think, you know, one of my old programming was, well, who do you think you are, you know?
Who do you think you are?
And that's where I got mine from, too. That's why I try to mute myself even when I was, you know, singing and doing what my heart desired. It was a mute. It was a, who do you think you are? Just be in high school. Just don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Now, look at when you said that the first time, Deborah, and then when you repeated it, Lianca, like, who do you think you are? Did you guys sense the energy getting really heavy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right
yes.
when you said that.
Yes.
Right?
So, tell the listeners what you mean by that, because some of them may
not know. Yeah, so, okay, there's one of the tools that I often, I'm using all the time, but we teach people in Access is the truth will make you feel light or expanded. And the lies will be heavy, more contracted energetically. You might feel it in your body, you might not. And right when you said, who do you think you are? First of all, who does that belong to? Is my question.
Oh,
but
that's
question
definitely
of
my mother. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are is a worldwide, global, what we call an implant.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is repeated like a parrot would repeat something.
Right.
Right. It's just like, who does it belong to? It flies out of our mouth. We didn't make it up. It just comes out. And it's perpetuated from generation to generation to generation to keep us from not, you know, singing our guts out, right?
Right, yeah.
who do you think you are? Do you really think you're up there? Now, if you would have been like, hell yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm one of the top. So, yeah, I do think I am that. But normally it's said to us in a way to diminish us,
yes.
right, mm-hmm. versus empower us.
Right.
Right? So can we just clear that one too?
Let's do.
Yes.
Yeah, so all the implants, we call them implants and explants, and they're just these patterns that get locked in your system. All the implants and explants of who do you think you are, will you destroy and uncreate them all?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, good, bad, right, wrong, pod, poc, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. So, yeah, like, if that wasn't there, like, Lianca, if that energy wasn't there, then what might have you have chosen back then?
A lot more.
Yeah.
Like, just to go with what my heart wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, these things that are out there, these, like, looking outside of us to see if we're doing okay or if we can go for it, right? And lots of us have had people in our lives that weren't all that supportive. Right?
Right.
They And also, it's not even that, too. Like, sometimes we as kids take things the wrong way. Not the wrong way, like we're wrong, but misinterpret certain things.
Right.
Have you ever noticed
right.
that? Where your mom was
yes.
always like, I just wanted to support you. And you were like, wow, well, that really sounded like criticism my whole entire life.
Huh.
Well, that's interesting. Right? Like, we make
oh
we
gosh,
make up
so
interesting
funny.
Things in our child brains that
oh, wow.
talk about functioning from your past. We're functioning from, like, a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old's point of view.
Yeah. Things
right?
that get
versus,
solidified.
Yeah, and then, so, like, for me, every time my mom would say anything, it was a criticism. It didn't matter if it what she really meant. It was all criticism.
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so that's one other way that we get stuck in our past. And then what we're doing, what we're truly doing with all of this is we're carrying around all of this baggage, all of these patterns, all of these beliefs, all of this junk, and we're throwing it into our future.
Mm. Wow, now that's a visual.
Right.
I feel like I'm in the choir. I'm like, girls, testify.
Yeah. So we're throwing it all into our future, and then we, you know, live another day, and then we bump up against it again, and we're like, oh, there it is. But we're acting like it's new, and it's not. It's we put it there.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So you want to just try and explain everywhere that you put your future or your past and your future to re-stumble
yeah.
upon it to prove that it's real. We just destroy and create all of that.
Oh,
yes.
That is a good one, Corey. Yes. Oh, you pulled that one out. That's great. Yes. That is really good.
Yeah.
That you put it there and then you stumble on it, you know.
Right.
Yes.
Then we go to blame someone else for it. Oh, it's the government or it's my employer or it's my husband or my mom or, you know, whatever. It's those sugar candy makers, like, that put those Snickers there that I love so much. Maybe take a different look at that here. Because it's just taking away your power. It's taking away your chance to change something and actually have a true choice in it. Right?
Mm-hmm. That is so good. Please don't get Leonka and I started laughing. We go into laugh fest sometimes on these things. So.
And there's a problem with that line?
No, there's not.
No,
I just want to get all the juice I can get out of you. I mean, mm-hmm. this is such good stuff, Corey. So there's one other thing that I thought one of the points that you were talking about, and I really want to get to this, and that is, and I love what you said. You said, get out of your head and into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to our audience about that.
Oh, now this is one. I don't even think I was in my head. I was definitely not in my body, and I don't even think I was in my head either, but. I don't know, we call them head trippers, right, where you're, like, thinking everything through and you're like, trying to compute everything and figure everything out and try to be right and be ahead of the game.
Figure everything out. That is where, I think that is, at some point, clear us on that. I think everybody is in a state of trying, if I can just figure this out, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I can just figure
yeah.
this out.
Right, well,
yeah.
well, going back to conclusions and to judgments, figuring everything out is just a function of being a problem solver, which means two things. One is you have to have created a problem to have a problem, because problems are just a creation. And then you've got to solve it, which means you have to figure it out. So then you've created
right.
a problem to try to figure it out, and then you spin around on it, but you're not operating in the world of possibility. So instead
mm-hmm.
of problem solving, I always like to go, okay, great, so how can this get resolved with ease? What else is possible here?
Yeah,
and
man.
I could speak for a long time about, you know, getting into your body, but one of my favorite things to do that shifts it for me every single time is ask this kind of question. And it's what would it be like to have fill in the blank? What would it be like to have let's see, have an amazing partner, and you can fill in the blanks with whatever you would like. What would it be like to have more money than I can spend, but never enough? You know, what would it be like to live in ease, joy, and glory? And glory, by the way, we're not talking about glory, hallelujah. We're talking about glory as an exuberant being, exuberant living is glory, the original meaning of glory. So what would it be like, you know, to live where your body would like to live? You know, what would it be like to have a business that takes care of you, right? What would it be like to have, you know, 1,500 thread count sheets, right?
Yeah.
And when you ask those questions, your body immediately knows what that is. And many times when you ask that question, your body will go right into that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would it be like to have someone care and nurture for your body in a kind and generative way? My body just goes,
mm-hmm.
Not just what would it be like to have a massage. I mean, that would be great too, but like someone to, you know, touch my body in a kind and generative way, nurturing way. Then my body goes, yeah, that. And it'll tell you. And when you get into your body will start creating with you. So if your body really likes cashmere, for example, what would it be like to be wearing cashmere more often?
Mm.
Right? And then what happens is it seems so simple. It seems way too good to be true, way too easy. But I bet nobody wants more ease, right? is that when you ask these be-like questions, number one, you're dropping into your body for a moment because your being is not in your head. Your being is not your thinking. You drop into your body, and your body goes, yeah, I know exactly what that would be like, and I'm going to show you right now.
Mm.
Like, what would it be like to travel to Costa Rica or wherever your body would like to go? What would it be like, you know, to be pain-free, to be having orgasmic energy running in your body? You know, what would it be like to just be happy? There's a simple but brilliant one.
Yeah.
Just to point out, did you notice the energy shift in, like, everywhere when we started asking the B questions?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just went,
mm-hmm.
Right? Instead of, like, I got to get everything I can from Corey and try to figure this out and how can I apply this? It went to, oh, and that's receiving. That's one way in which receiving shows up is these D questions, because the energy just shifts right there.
Yeah.
And you've received a different energy. You be a different energy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. So asking questions is like, you know, me going from asking zero questions before 5 years ago to now asking any question I can possibly conjure up keeps the energy moving, keeps me in my body, and also continues to allow me to create with the molecules of the universe. So those are like my, you know, they're so simple, but they're my, you know, they're my powerhouse tools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of powerhouse tools, I mean, for those of you who want to get more of Corey and into her world a little more, Leonka, do you and Corey want to talk about what she's offering to our listeners tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. If you click on right below Corey's picture, there's a yellow button called Special Offer. And Corey has this really remarkable thing that she actually put together for our show. It's called Unlocking the Distractor Implants to Ignite Your Receiving. And Corey, I mean, just tell us, give us a little bit of the energy behind how you created this for your people. And, I mean, obviously you give it to us as a discount, so thank you so much for that. But tell us where the premise came from and what people would get when working with you in this way.
Oh, for sure. So this is, well, this distractor implant package plus the bonuses are some of my favorite and most potent classes that you can listen to on your own to start creating some change and really, like, get even deeper with what we were talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much
mm-hmm.
more. Like, I won't go into all
oh,
of it.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I'll give you a taste of everything we've talked about today and then just deeper. And so we were talking about the distractor implants, right? Like, it's everywhere that distracts you from being you. And this particular series is all about blame, shame, regret, and guilt. And
oh, my goodness.
Some people want to go into, you know, blame and shame and all that kind of stuff and bring it all up and feel it. And when I started learning about that it's just an implant, that you actually don't have to go into the pain and the suffering of it to relive it, you can clear it. I was like, I'll have that. So
yeah,
that's what
I choose that.
Right? Like, I'll totally bypass the pain and suffering and go
yes.
for the ease for myself. And it works. Like, it works, which was brilliant because I wasn't sure if it was going to, but it does. And so the distractor implant call, you can scroll down on this page and it's really getting you out of looping in your head about the past, having past regrets, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, the
mm-hmm.
things that you could have done but didn't. And then
didn't.
Also where
mm-hmm.
all the places that you hide.
Ooh.
So you don't want people to know how horrible you really are. Like, that stuff is, like, we can
yeah.
clear that out of there. And this call series really dives in. And we've had extraordinary results of people just going, I literally dumped shame. Like, we're not going out anymore. I dumped shame.
Wow.
After
like a bad
to
boyfriend, huh?
Right, exactly. Like, what would it be like if you didn't function from blame, shame, regret, and guilt being true
for
you?
Oh, my gosh. Right?
Right?
You
like, what could you
just,
who would you be?
Right, you just go. You just, like, do all of these wonderful, cool things you always want to if you're not hiding or shame or guilt or, oh.
Yeah. And then what
well,
I
well, and we were just talking about, you know, all the hiding we did, you know, the who do you think you are and you not being able to do your singing, you know, all of
mm-hmm.
that. And it, yeah, there, it stays with you in other ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Corey?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. Exactly. It keeps you from having money. It keeps you from your creativity, abundance, vibrance, your awareness, and your dream life. Like, all the things that you know in your heart are possible for you,
mm-hmm.
it keeps you from having those show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are all the ways we sabotage ourselves. And if those are there, your dream life could show up, but you wouldn't be able to actually receive it. You would actually destroy it.
You'd repel it. Yeah.
Yeah, because you wouldn't deserve it. And then all the things that get wrapped up in that. So that's the main course I'm offering here. And it's a four-part series. We just dive in and we use the access clearing statement and just clear it all away. And then the three bonuses, which I love, and I'm going to start with
mm-hmm.
the third one because this is something that people will use every single day, and it's called the Juicy Life Blueprint, and it's a list of 3 pages of questions for every area
Ooh.
Of your life to start asking the universe, right?
Ooh.
And when you engage, when I've had people change their whole life just because of this Juicy Blueprint,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a Create Your Best Year audio, which was an hour and 45 minute, I think it was an hour and 45, class that I did. And it's like how to get into alignment with what you would actually like to have. Like, how do you do that? How do you get this other junk out of the way so you can really start choosing for you? And then one of my favorites is the 33.5-day program. And this program, you get me in your inbox every day for 33.5 days having a conversation with you about living the life that you came to live.
Wow.
Giving you tools. Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really awesome.
Corey, this is
Holy
great.
Holy smoke. I know. That's an incredible.
It is
super
cool.
I'm going to be diving in on that one.
That is a good better. So the 33.5-day program, you get the videos, and they're all super short. They're less than 10 minutes long every day. And it'll teach you a new tool and give you more awareness about where you're choosing from, how to change it fast. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm not a day, I'm not a dilly-dallier. I don't like long processes. Like, if you couldn't tell, I want the shortcut. And so,
well, and like I said, you know what? You are such a demonstration of that, because literally, Leonka and I have seen you go from 0 to 100, like, in 3 years.
I would say zero, but
phenomenal.
I mean,
I mean, not zero, but I mean, you
not
know,
zero,
like,
but
just
like
blow
as,
up, really.
As a car.
You know, just like, yeah.
As a Maserati, right? You're just there. You just blew us away.
Really?
All about shortcuts. You know, I've got this friend who loves to do it the hard way and the long way, and her whole process and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't know if you guys know people like that, but they love the story of it. They love the story of their transformation.
Oh, yeah.
And that is really valuable.
Someone sent me an
people.
Easy button one time. I totally can relate. I have
to
make it
totally.
Difficult. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So my friend would always do this, and I was just like, I don't understand why she's doing it the hard way. Right? Like, why is she doing it the hard way? Because I'm so programmed. I'll create the shortcut. I'll do it faster. I'll do it better. I'll do it for less money. Right? Like, I will get there as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good.
And you have.
Oh, yeah. And just wait. There's more to come.
Ooh, girl. Ready.
We're taking off.
If you are thinking about working with Corey, this is an amazing program. And you know what? I can tell you from experience, I use the tools that Corey is talking about, and I know Corey is the real deal. Like, she has done it. So if there is any doubt in your mind where you could catapult yourself to, you know, more everything, especially in your business or whatever you're contemplating, do it with her. This is the real deal. So I just want to say that.
Well,
it really
is. Just imagine, I mean, just imagine if we could, you know, wake up without feeling shame, blame, regret, and guilt. Just imagine that, you know. Wow, who could we be? What would we go out and do, you know? Leonka, you might take the stage again, honey. Right? I mean, who knows? I mean, if we came out of hiding and, you know, my partner would be singing, too, on the side. But I also love the idea, as you've introduced our audience to questions, that you've got, you know, you've also got that in your package as well, just teaching them, beginning to ask the questions rather than, you know, just staying in our points of views. So incredible.
Yeah. As you guys know, when you start to engage with questions like they can change and create for you, it's my most valuable asset. It's beyond any, you know, money leveraging tool or anything like that, or any other asset you could possibly have. It's my greatest asset is, well, that's not totally true. I have a few greatest assets. One is my awareness, and two is the ability to ask questions, and three is my choice. And that, with knowing those, I could lose everything tomorrow and know that I could create something even more brilliant and magnificent, whatever it is, tomorrow. Like, my house could burn down and I wouldn't be a disaster. I could, you know, lose everything in my business, you know, and it wouldn't be a disaster. It would be like, okay, great. So, well, now what? Now what do we want to create? Right? And the drama and the trauma and the significance of, you know, what we might hold on to because of our past literally doesn't have to exist as a significance in my life. It's not my significant. My past is not my significant other.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep, tweeting it out.
My past is not my significant other. Oh my God, Corey, you just got it going on tonight.
You guys bring it out of me. Thank you so much.
I'm telling you, this is such good stuff. And, you know, what you just said then, I mean, just, again, what a powerful demonstration for us to remember that, you know, all we really need is us and our awareness. I mean, you know, if something happened and we lost this or we lost that, or, you know, what you just said is so huge, is having our choice and our awareness. And there might have been one more thing you said there, but, I mean, that's huge to know, and what a relief, because then you're not just walking around in fear trying to hold on to everything, right? I mean, You're trying to hold on to everything so much you couldn't even let anything else in anyway. So
exactly.
Thank you for that.
My pleasure. And it was choice, awareness, and questions.
Choice, awareness, and questions. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, Corey, my beautiful friend, I can't thank you enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you were here, I would just give you a big old smooch right on the lips. And I hope I get to see you soon.
Oh, my gosh. How much fun would that be, ladies? You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for being you and really just getting out there and creating this. Because, like, you guys creating this is such a contribution to all the listeners and to all of the guests. And it's like thank you for honoring that and stepping out and choosing it and going for it. So, like, just my acknowledgement to you. Thank you.
Well,
thank you for receiving that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well,
I just want to say, Leonka, and I wanted Corey to hear this. We have had so many beautiful, and I want to thank the audience. We've had so many amazing comments, have we not, Leonka? Just, and we are receiving them, and we love getting them. People are, you know, getting things on different levels and hearing things they haven't heard before. And, you know, that's the contribution that we started out with. That's what we wanted to create and demonstrate. And so thank you so much for listening and for supporting us. And we love bringing you all these amazing speakers like Corey. And, wow, I'm just so happy you were on tonight. I've had a smile on my face the whole time, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Me too. You guys are so funny.
All right. We'll come back and play again, will you?
And
play with us again.
I would love to. Just let me know when and I will be there.
Sounds great. All right, Leonka, do we have any housekeeping?
One more thing, guys, if you want to hear Kelly's replay or any of the replays that we've had for the weekly replays, you can hear them at reveal.lyanca.com/live. Guys, we thank you so much for joining us. We love you, love you. This is the reason why we do this, to be the contribution to you. So thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
My pleasure.
Big kiss and say hello to Man Candy for us. All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.